I tried to be. Last week, we talked a little bit about forgiveness. Talked about its power. Talked about how it is able to heal and to provide a pathway for our lives to move forward. And one of the most important things to remember is that actually, your forgiveness, when you forgive, you actually free up your own mind and your own heart and your own feelings to move forward in Christ and provide a healthier, more positive life. It's when you decide to hold a grudge, when you do not forgive, that you bind yourself and create all kinds of troubles for yourself. So it's important to understand and to practice the power of forgiveness. It's not just, you know, we hold a grudge against someone, we think that we're showing them, right? When all we're, very often, and I've known this in people's lives, where they've held a grudge for 20, 30 plus years, and I'm going to show them. And what we discover is that long ago, that person completely forgot what the issue was. But that inability to forgive, that grudge drove that person for 30 plus years. And the one who wasn't forgiven by that person had long ago forgotten the incident altogether. Very often that's the way it happens. So forgiveness, as Christ modeled for us on the cross, is something that can set us free and create life for us. Tough one to handle, isn't it? It's a tough one. I want to talk about a tough thing again today. But, you know, have you ever heard someone say, a penny for your thoughts? What are you thinking about right now, other than, well, what's he saying? I wish he wore... What are you thinking? When you get up in the morning, when you open your eyes, what are the first thoughts that flow through your mind before anything from the day begins to impose itself on you?
I want to go back to bed.
Other than wanting to shoot the alarm clock and destroy it, what are the thoughts that are flowing through your mind and your heart, yourself? What is it that is beginning already to shape your response and your movement through your day? What are your thoughts? The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, wrote a very powerful verse that just gripped me, captured my attention. I want to think a little bit about what he says this morning. It's a very simple phrase, but it's probably one of the most compelling things that you'll ever find in all of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, he writes this: "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And here's what really grabbed me: "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Let's pray. Father, I'm captured by that because I'm not even sure what it means to have every thought taken captive. But I do know that I want whatever I am and whatever I say and whatever I think, whatever that flows through my life in any way, whatever feelings, whatever notions, whatever relationships, anything. What I want more than anything else is that I can present it to you and lay it at your feet as my offering to you. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us as we try to understand what your servant, the Apostle Paul, means by taking captive every thought so that we can present it to you. Lord, we must take your word seriously. Would you help us this morning? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, come on. I mean, you can think about how we act, what we do, the kinds of things that we produce during the day, how I interact with people. That's okay, Lord, but to take captive every thought, to actually move inside my mind and capture what's there, that's a bit much, isn't it? I mean, my thoughts, they're just there, you know? I mean, they pop up, they invade my mind, they capture my attention. I don't have a lot of thought about what shows up, do I? I mean, if there's one thing I can't control, it's the flow of stuff through my mind, right? How I respond to people, circumstances, and things. Come on. How can I take that captive and make it obedient to Christ? How can I take my thought life and lay it at the feet of Christ? Is that even remotely possible? Can I possibly do that? What if I could capture my thoughts and bring them under some kind of control? Wouldn't it be great to be able to take your whole thought life and lay it at the throne of Jesus and offer it up as an offering to Him? You know, thoughts are more powerful than we sometimes think. Remember Norman Vincent Peale? He said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, yeah, right, but it's not that easy. I mean, you can't just change your life by changing your thoughts. And as I think about that, I'd have to say, you know, you're right on the first part. It really isn't that easy. But I think you're wrong on the second part. Your thoughts carry more power to direct your response to life than you may realize. It's true that it's not that easy to change your thoughts. Anyone who's tried to change their way of thinking can tell you that. That's tough stuff. But we have deeply ingrained thought habits that we typically turn to in response to certain situations, such as stress or fatigue or doubt or fear. Have you ever been around a smoker who is in a place in which he knows he can't smoke, but he keeps reaching into his shirt pocket for a cigarette? You seen that? He does it again and again. And even though he knows he can't smoke right now, it's a subconscious habit to just reach for that cigarette. That's the way we are with most of the things we think. Over the years, and I think really the older you get, the more this is true, the more programmed you are to think in certain ways about certain things. And we often do it without thinking. Ouch. Even talking about it gets to be hard, doesn't it? It almost becomes circular. Actually, we normally think in habitual ways without thinking what we're thinking about. Now, do you see how hard this is to try to understand and deal with? If your natural tendency is to think in negative terms and you do nothing to curb that natural tendency, then your worldview and your life experience will be on the negative side. Habitual negative thinking leads to certain problems that can't be avoided. And the first thing, and this may, maybe this will capture you, negative thinking robs you of a life of faith. Negative thinking robs you of a life of faith. It's difficult to live with an attitude that says God is bigger than my problems when you approach every problem thinking, oh man, this ruins everything. It's difficult to live with the attitude that says, I am blessed and highly favored of God, when every time a little inconvenience comes along, you say, well, yeah, isn't that typical? Another problem is that negative thinking leads to a life of inactivity. It leads to a what's the use mentality. It causes us to think, why bother trying? You know, nothing works out anyway. You know, why go on a diet? I'll starve myself for a few weeks. I'll suffer. And then I'll give up. And I'll be right back where I was. And all that suffering will be pointless. Why should I bother to strengthen my marriage? Right? My spouse doesn't appreciate anything I do. I'll just give up. No, you know, I'll just give and I'll give and I'll give and get nothing back in return. So why should I start? Why bother? You know, if you give in to that natural tendency to think negatively, it's easier to give in to the temptation to do nothing. You know, the why bother mentality tends to float to the surface. Because of this, negative thinking often causes isolation in relationships. Negative thinking often causes isolation. It causes us to focus on what's wrong in the relationship, and it tricks us into thinking that nothing can be done about it. It's a trap. But if you're willing to do the hard work of taking control of your thought life, it's going to make a big difference in your life. You know, if we're obedient to Scripture, as the Apostle Paul tells us, to take every thought captive, to make it obedient to Christ. What an amazing difference that'll make in our life. First, you know, what kind of difference it'll make you? You'll be happier. It doesn't take a degree in brain chemistry to know that the person who thinks positive, uplifting thoughts is going to be happier than the person who thinks bleak and negative thoughts. Let me tell you from experience. Being happy beats miserable every time. Secondly, when you take control of your thoughts, you'll develop a more accurate view of the world. Now, one of the misconceptions about positive thinking is that it's nothing more than wishful thinking and leads to one being Pollyanna-ish. But is that really the case? Actually, the purpose of positive thinking is not to look at the world through rose-colored glasses, but to look at the world through clear glasses. So you can see what's really there. The purpose of positive thinking is not to create a fictional view of reality, but to see what really is so that you can do something about it. Positive thinking doesn't mean that you avoid thinking about negative things. It means that you avoid thinking about things negatively. Catch that distinction? Negative thinkers say, this is a terrible situation and there's no solution. Positive thinkers say, this is a terrible situation and I'm going to look for ways to make it better. Positive thinking is action-oriented thinking. It is solution-oriented thinking. And so another benefit from being a positive thinker is that really you become a lot more productive. Instead of thinking, what's the use, you'll begin thinking, what do I need to do? See the difference? The difference it can make in the way that you conduct your life every day in very practical terms. When you take control of your thoughts, you spend less time thinking about things that take you nowhere. You spend less time reliving the past and revisiting regrets. You spend less time thinking about what could have been, and you spend more time thinking about what can be. If you'll make the effort to take control of your thoughts, if you really try to take captive your thoughts, it'll improve your emotional state, your spiritual state, and your relationships as well, and even your ability to do your job. So how can I do it? How can I take control of my thought life? How do you take control of it? Today, I want to take a look at three steps that every one of us can take if we really want to take our thought life captive and make it obedient to Christ. I think that it's a no-brainer. Boy, it's funny even talking about this stuff. It's hard to not go around in circles, but it really is a no-brainer to take your thought life captive, to think in more positive terms is going to make you a more positive person and a more productive person, a person who is marked by a life of faith and productivity. So how do we do it? Well, first of all, think on purpose. Language is hard. But bear with me for a minute. Think on purpose. Start thinking about what you think about. I know, we don't do that. We just kind of let thoughts flow through our mind, right? I can't help that. It's just kind of there. Paul said that we need to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When Paul says this, he's talking about the influence the world has on our belief systems and our most fundamental ideas about life. The world teaches one philosophy and the Bible teaches another. And we need to make sure that our thoughts are aligned with the biblical model. In my own life, I've discovered that left unchecked, your thoughts can take you to all kinds of crazy places. You know, we call it daydreaming. But I think that more of it takes place than we like to admit. And I think more of it becomes formative in the way we respond to life and circumstances than we like to admit. It does more of a job of shaping our hearts. Just a simple thought can take you all over the place. Like, well, how about an ad for a car? Now, we're inundated with ads all day long. But you see, you wish you had that car, and you think, man, that's a nice car. I wish I could afford it, but I can't afford anything. Not with my salary, and not with the demands on me, not with this economy. I don't see how it's ever going to get better. I guess the days of prosperity are pretty much over. I sure wish I had taken advantage of some of the opportunities a few years ago. You know, like Bob did. Man, he's done well for himself. And it couldn't have happened to a less deserving guy. I'll never forget what he said to me. Boy, did that make me mad. You know what I should have said to him? I should have stood up to him and said, Bob, you so-and-so, let me tell you what I think of you. That's what I should have said. But I can't stand up to anybody. I've been this way all my life. It's probably because of my dad. I could never stand up to him, you know? Did he ever make my life miserable? And I still don't measure up to what he expects of me. I guess I never will. Why should I even bother? See how A simple ad can move you in a thousand different directions. And you begin dragging up all this stuff. And you begin to see how one little advertisement for a car can dominate your thinking for a whole afternoon and lead you into a negative, non-productive state. That's why we need to take every thought captive. When that thought enters your mind, grab a hold of it before it has a chance to wander. Dissect it, evaluate it, weigh it against Scripture, and see if it measures up. But realize you're not subject to every thought that flows into your brain. Take it captive. Control the thought. Don't let it control you. The first step to getting victory in your thought life is learning to think on purpose. Secondly, filter your thoughts. Filter your thoughts. Now, this one might sound suspicious because it's kind of like a product endorsement, but a friend of mine once bought a Brita filter. Ever seen those in the store? You know, you buy this pitcher and it filters the water and makes it pure and special, you know, unlike anything you've ever had in your life. And he told me, and he started sounding like, you know, an advertisement. I was worried that he was going to start trying to sell me a reverse osmosis whole house water conditioning system, but he didn't. He stuck with this little Brita filter thing. But he said, it just changed my life. You can't believe the difference it's made in everything. He talked about how he had used tap water for everything. And this filter changed his life. Not only did the drinking water taste better, but coffee tasted better. Spaghetti tasted better. Rice tasted better. Ice tasted better. Everything he used water for in the kitchen was suddenly cleaner and better tasting, and his life was turned around by this Brita filter. Why? Because the filter captured all the impurities in the tap water and only let the pure water pass through. Now, yeah, he went overboard. Kind of like sometimes our thinking gets to be at times. But in the same way, Paul suggests that we use a filter for our thoughts. Okay? That means that when a thought enters your mind, pass it through a filter that will make it obedient Christ. In Philippians 4, the 8th verse, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Ooh, there's a good filter for you, isn't it? There's your filter. It's a good idea to even memorize his lists. You know, he gives us 8 filters to use. As you think about what you think about, run your thoughts through these filters. Now take that thought, okay? What I mean by taking it captive is separate it. It's going to be a little difficult initially, but take that thought and hold on to it and then put it up against these filters, okay? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent or praiseworthy? In other words, is this thought worthy of my time or my effort? If it is, give it your full attention. If it's not, push it aside. Don't give it your effort or your attention. Web designers use a little trick. When you go to one web page, but actually they want you to go to another. It's a little line of HTML code that is called a redirect. That way, if a website or web page has changed names or moved to a new location, you go to the old site and it automatically redirects you to the correct one. I'm sure that's happened to most of us here. It's happened to me, you know. It's a pretty handy tool. It's a good tool for your thought habits, too. When you find yourself thinking something that you shouldn't be thinking, that doesn't go through that filter very well, practice a redirect. Make your thoughts move to something good and clean and pure and praiseworthy. Satan takes great delight in controlling your thought life. He loves to put negative thoughts into your head, to confuse you, to make you question if God is really near. Now, you'll know when Satan comes. I mean, the earmarks of a satanic thought are very clear. If you are in Christ, you'll have all kinds of flags flying. You know, neon lights will be coming. Take command of that thought in the name of Jesus and command Satan to leave. Did you know that you have authority in the name of Jesus to command Satan to leave? You don't have to accept that thought into your mind. You don't have to let it take control of your life. Command Satan to leave. You have no place in my life. Don't let Satan have his way. Here's the third thing. Use your thoughts to ground your actions. Use your thoughts to ground your actions. George Bernard Shaw once said, "Those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything." He may not have realized it, but he was indirectly referencing a biblical principle of transformation. For instance, in the book of Romans 12, the second verse, from the King James, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds." In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 23rd verse, he says, "Be made new in the attitude of your minds." Transformed behavior begins with transformed thoughts. I quoted Norman Vincent Peale earlier, who said, "Change your thoughts and you'll change your world." But more significantly, it can be said, "Change your thoughts and you'll change yourself." Taking control of your thoughts, life, doesn't just mean that you learn to think pretty things. It means that you become a new person and make a difference in the world around you. The right attitude is to say, "God, I want to learn to think differently because I want to learn to act differently. Because I want to be a different person." That's why Peter said, "Prepare your minds for action." Because thinking leads to doing. Taking control of your thoughts means that you think in the direction of action. You ask yourself, "What do I need to do?" Take captive that thought. Take control of it. Think about your thinking. Filter it. And let it be a ground for your actions. Henry David Thoreau said, "As a single footstep will not make a path in the earth, so a single thought will not make a pathway in the mind. To make a deep physical path, we walk again and again. To make a deep mental path, we must think over and over the kind of thoughts we wish to dominate our lives." Now, taking control of your thoughts is hard work. It's a habit that you must get into. But you begin by saying, "Lord, I'm going to take captive those thoughts. I'm going to think about my thinking. And I'm going to watch what flows through my mind. I'm going to take those thoughts captive. And I'm going to apply those filters that you've given us in your word. And then thoughts that make it through that filter are thoughts that are worthy of my time and my attention. And I'll use those thoughts as a groundwork for my action. That's what Paul is telling us to do, to take captive every thought. It's hard work. It's not a one-time event. It's a daily process. But the rewards are worth the effort. If you'll learn to think like God has told us to think, you'll experience change in all areas of your life. It all filters there in your mind and moves out to everything you do and everything you are and every way that you respond to life. Make it obedient to Christ. It begins by taking control of those thoughts. Let's pray. Father, tough thing to think about. Tough thing to talk about. Our thoughts, they're just sort of there. And they're really personal. They're really intimate. They are who I am. And that's why you have called us to take those thoughts captive so that we can offer them to you as an offering. A pure, a fragrant offering that leads us to move and act and to become people who are obedient and loving and caring in the way we live. And Lord, it begins by taking control of our thoughts. Help us, Lord. Please. Help us to begin at the beginning. Help us to take every thought captive and to honor you with our thoughts, our lives, our hearts, our actions. We commit these to you now. In the name of Jesus, I pray.